Energikommisjonen har gitt marsjordre. De ønsker mer av alt, raskere. I Europower stiller vi spørsmålet, hvordan bygge mer kraft raskere, uten dødsfall? Kan IT spille en rolle her? Se merkraftraskere.no og ta gjerne kontakt dersom dere har en løsning som kan redde liv.
Welcome to this investor podcast from Europower. Today we are at the Europower Investor Conference at Oslo Event Hub. Now we will talk about a major issue, which is particularly of concern here in Norway, area conflicts. And to discuss this, we have a great trio of panelists, Ragnhild Janbu Fresvik, CEO of Eviny, Håkon Levi, CFO of Å Energi, and Andreas Åsheim, Head of Norway in Vinde. And so far we have discussed the need for speed, more capacity, but as everyone in the Norwegian part of the industry really knows, there is virtually no energy project without conflicts. So let's talk a bit more about that issue. And I'll start with Fresvik. You're still a fairly new leader in this industry, not in total, but in this industry. And since you are started at Eviny, you have both restructured the organization and you have led Eviny into the wind power industry through the acquisition of two wind power parks on the western part of Norway. And by that, you also expand the geographical area that Eviny operates in. So what kind of conflicts have you been faced with so far?
Well, I think, first of all, I believe that the Norwegian public ownership of power will be a key component in succeeding with the onshore wind that we need in the society. And it's definitely not only high-tech vision that can contribute with capital and impatience. I think sort of the regional largest utilities play a major role in the decade ahead to succeed with this. And just to exemplify, yesterday we had an all-owners meeting with all owners of Eviny, 17 Western municipalities and Statkraft. And we presented the new group company strategy, where we're supposed to invest the next decade, the whole amount of the value of the company built up in 100 years. And what we see from our owners is a big support and a big cheer for the decade ahead. And then when they ask us, what do you want us to contribute with? Then I can turn back to the same owners and say that you need to grant us the areas to build the power that you need. So I think sort of the public ownership will be a key component in succeeding. And also what we reckon when we meet with the mayors of Lund and Sokndal and Skinn and Bremanger for Gudbrandsdalen and Tallinnes is that they welcome us as new owners of these power plants, and they also welcome us to explore how we can expand these power plants. And that's actually the fastest way to build new power, is to expand the power plants that we already have in place. So I'm quite optimistic for the decade ahead, and we share an increasingly important role as the regional power producers.
Mm. Åsheim, you would, among other things, like to build a wind power park in Aremark in Østfold County, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. southeast of Oslo. What kind of conflicts have you experienced or do you expect for that project?
Well, for the Aremark project, we've only recently handed in our zone plan initiative. So we are still a bit in the blue of what types of conflict we'll meet. Having said that, I think it's fair to say that there will be the classical area conflicts regarding hiking in nature, fishing, hunting, friluftsliv, what's a good English word for that? But I think it comes down to the way we approach the new licensing system in Norway. I think the way we set up the system with more involvement earlier from the municipalities is a good thing. It'll realistically take a bit longer, even longer, to obtain a permit. But those projects that comes through the final process will be better anchored in the local communities. Because there will be conflicts, there will be opposition. But by letting people enter into the discussions and being heard in an earlier stage, is a benefit, I think, to the processes and then the projects.
Because we do see some examples of plans being presented publicly, and next thing you know, the local council has voted to never open that area for anything remotely connected to wind power just days after. So that hasn't happened in Aremark yet.
That hasn't happened in Aremark. We've seen examples of it, and there will be mines around. We will meet those types of situations, I'm sure, every one of us. But then again, doing it the right way will benefit the end result, I think.
Mm. Levi, you are the CFO of Å Energi, which is the result of the merger between Agder Energi and Glitre Energi a year and a half ago or so. And last year, there was little new renewable capacity in Norway. And your new Fennefoss power station, which is, you know, fairly small, actually, but it was actually one of the very few projects to finish and open. And at Fennefoss, there was actually a party for the locals when the hydropower station opened. Why wasn't there more conflict?
Well, thank you.
Did they move out, the ones who were against it?
No, but I think if we're drawing some of the lines a little bit further back than just Fennefoss, which is a recently new investment for our part. As Daniel said, we've been building and developing hydropower for 100 years. That's given us a lot of experience with collaborating with local municipalities and communities. We have, I think, 47 municipalities that are direct or indirectly owners of Å Energi. But I think we, as a industry, also need to recognize that some of the things we have been doing previously could be done better. I mean, wind energy is one of the almost obvious examples of that. I was on the board of Wind Developer, which developed the two parks that Ragnhild invested in. The first park, which is Telnes, was very little conflict. Then moving on to the next park, Gulsjetna, was increased conflict level. And then at the last part, which you didn't buy yet, which is Haram Kraft, was very high level of conflict. And I think as an industry and as investors, if we're not able to be sufficiently to take into account the local challenges that we face, we won't be able to realize new projects. For Fennefoss, we managed that part, but we have seen increasing opposition also for some of our solar initiatives, which the dialogue either went off track or we didn't, as a company, be able to get close enough to the stakeholders in the local community. I think communication and local involvement are two key issues that we need to continue to work on, and I think there's more to work on there.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think besides sort of the competence in the organizations that we have, the most key assets that we have is trust in the local society. So even though we're eager to pursue opportunities for new terawatt hours, we should not pursue every project. And we also have projects in our nearby our market that we will not go into because the level of conflict is too high. And we need to sort of be diligent in that respect. But then I think sort of also we need to tell the stories after the power plants have been put into place. Like, for instance, Gulsjetten. It was told when the concession process went on that it was a huge conflict between the power production and the birds. We need to tell the story afterwards, what's actually the case. And it's not the case that it was a big conflict between the power production and the birds. It was also told that this area was a lot of spent for friluftsliv. The case afterwards is that we actually have 5,000 people who've entered the book in the area, going into the area and spending it to a much larger extent than what was the case before. So we also, as an industry, need to tell these stories, what's the fact before the power production came into place, and the reality afterwards. Because if we're not taking part in these discussions, then the opponents will tell the stories and define the truth. And that will increase the level of conflict.
Mm. I think not a great translation, but maybe recreational use is what we're looking
Thank
for
you.
Here. Levi, as a CFO, you're used to deal with the numbers. And And to what extent is the potential for conflict a factor when you assess possible new projects? And can you put a number on that risk? Or is it more like a sort of a pre-qualification phase where you put them into low, medium, high level of expected conflict?
It's a good question. And I think it's a very important question. I know there's a lot of investors and banks in this room as well. And as a developer that we are in some of these projects, we are acutely aware that projects that don't have the local anchoring and acceptance will not fly. So we can spend a lot of time developing projects for years and years and years. The processes are very lengthy. And we are then spending the time and effort on the wrong projects, which might die eventually before they're being realized. So putting a fixed number on it, maybe not, but taking that into account as a key investment criteria for us is important, yes. And then there's the balance between we as a large Norwegian utility with Nordic ambitions, we have expansion plans both for offshore wind, for solar, and for hydropower, large grid investments. If we are not able to balance this with sufficient speed to drive through the green transition at the same time as we account for and take the time to make the local acceptance, we won't make it.
Mm. Or same, do you put a number on the risk, or is it more like a sort of pre-qualification phase that you say, that, okay, this is just too much conflict, let's not go there?
Well, we spend a lot of time and resources on screening the projects we pursue. I think out of 100 projects we initially look at, maybe we move forward on 10. And in that, we take away what we deem is the most controversial. Or put it the other way, we move forward on the least conflictual projects. But then again, I mean, it's difficult to sort of pinpoint the actual conflict level prior to go public with it. I worked 15 years with wind power. I spent 11 years at the Norwegian Wind Energy Association. If you asked me back in 2015, which three projects will be the most conflictual projects, I would never have said Hardam. Never in a million years I would have said Hardam. So you can't really... there's no way in anticipating the movement of the opinion. That will come later. We can look at the data sets we have. We can look at known data. We can do surveys, biological surveys. But at the end of the day, if you don't get people on board with the idea, and most will probably say, meh, I don't really care. Some will say I'm strongly against, and some will say I'm in favor for. But people need to be heard all the way throughout the process. No, we don't put a number. We don't have, I think it was Shula said, the NATO's 2% fund. We don't set that aside. But of course, we know that a project with a lot of conflicts will take longer time, cost more money, and in the end, hurt our reputation as a developer.
Levi?
Just adding on to what Andreas is saying, because some of these processes are so lengthy that what you start out with and the initial discussions with locals is not what you end up with. It's something else, since the project has changed because it needs to adapt to the local, either hydropower conditions or other physical conditions. And this is a challenge for the industry, where I think the regulation can play an important part in shortening this regulation process and thereby also gaining acceptance throughout the process, as you mentioned, and making all sure that all stakeholders are on board during that process.
I can just add one thing to that, because that reminds me of a sentencing in one of the Norwegian courts last summer against the Statnet, who built a transmission station in a reindeer area. And one of the main conditions for the sentencing was what completely against Statnet was that it's taken so long, and you had sort of replaced all the original parties on the other side of the table had been switched with the next generation, and by the end of it was sort of no one could really remember what has been said at what time. Fredrik, you obviously just bought two wind power farms, and you got a bit of criticism for spending so much money of your available capital, currently available capital anyway, at those. And I would assume that you didn't have a list of just two possible parks. So what made it attractive for you to go for these and not others? Did you sort of think that, okay, well, if we do this, it's going to be impossible to sort of expand, for instance, which was an important reason?
First of all, I just want to reassure you that the money is not spent up in Eveny. We have a solid balance and definitely further growth ambitions, both in hydro and in wind. And then I think sort of going directly into two of perhaps the best wind parks in Norway, with a high capacity factor, with a low level of conflict, and also in geographical interesting areas for us. That gives us a total different position in also developing new greenfield projects. It's already known that we are working still with the hydro on the Snøheia project in Høyanger, and we're also pursuing some other greenfield projects, which is not known yet. So we definitely have growth ambitions beyond, but I think it puts us in a totally different trust position, that we already own and operate and can build the competence in owning and operating two of the best wind parks in Norway. So that's sort of the key strategy, and then obviously also developing those. But I think sort of in the discussion of the area conflicts, we need to also lift the facts in that discussion, in not only the Norwegian context, but also in a European context. Because the case is today that 0.15% of Norwegian land is onshore wind. 0.15. You should not think about that when you watch Oppsynsmannen, but that's actually the case. And if you look at Germany, for instance, 2% of the German land is set aside for onshore wind. So we're far behind our European peers in terms of the land we use for renewable power production. And also we have the best wind resource in Europe. So when you push almost 50% capacity factor at Tellenes, that's far beyond what you can realize in Sweden, in Germany. So what I'm trying to say is that we can use less nature in Norway and produce the same amount of energy from onshore wind that a lot of our European peers. So we really need to fix this this decade.
Awesome.
I fully agree. Turbine in Norway will produce twice the amount as a turbine in Germany. But I've tried that argument before with limited success, if I may add. The problem with aerial conflicts is that whenever you go somewhere, you can make that case, right? We only utilize this much of the Norwegian land, and 44% is untouched nature, more than a kilometer away from anything. It doesn't matter, because when you come into any local area, anywhere we want to build a hydro plant, a solar farm, or a wind plant, it's going to be someone's most important area, right? But then again, coming back, and I think that's a general, more of a general comment more than for the renewable industry, that we need as a society to prioritize, right? And we, as an industry, we have, it takes us 10 years to realize whatever we set out to do. So we need to have that 10-year horizon and then operate it for 30 to 100 years, depending on the technology. So whatever we do to decide today, it'll stay for a long time. But we don't get those signals from our politicians, right? We don't have this big grand plan for the power industry. And my case, in my argument, is that we're going to need a hell of a lot more power production, be it for climate change, be it for new industry, whatever. But without a general plan, we're going to fight for every single square meter of land we're going to utilize. And we're going to utilize it. We're going to put up big turbines or panels or whatever, and it's going to change. And people locally will protest it for good reasons. So we, and I'm someone said, the gentleman from Bain said he might sound socialistic now, and I'm going to do the same thing because I miss Einar Gerhardsen. We need a big plan. This is where we are. We're going to be over there in 10 years. This is how we're going to do it. Just go.
Fredrik, short.
Yeah, I think sort of I miss Espen Nakstad's version for the energy transition.
Yes.
but I think sort of, yes, I agree. At the same time, I have really respect for the push that local politicians are put into. And they need clear voices like ours to support them and to also bring out facts in this debate. And I think sort of we as an industry have not perhaps been too clear. We need to step out and be more clear and also support the local politicians in their positions.
If we're not going to fight for our project, they won't.
Exactly. Yeah.
Levi, Å Energi are not really in the wind power production yet. And we are sort of focusing on wind here because that's really where the huge, huge conflicts are. And if I remember correctly, I think in the old Agder Energi even had a board resolution that you were not going to enter wind. So I don't think Å Energi has said that as much, but anyway, you're not in wind. Mm-hmm. And going into wind will create a significant national resistance, never mind the local one we've been discussing here so far, and a lot of noise, particularly in social media. But it also spills over into traditional media as well. I remember one of the local newspapers, I think it was Zephyr, who announced a project just a couple of months ago, and it was sort of shock and awe in day by day in the local newspaper, and it was killed off at the next local council meeting. Does that deter you in a sense to go more into wind power, Levi? That it's just not worth it because it's just so much noise.
Yeah, just as Ragnhild said, we also had the owners' meeting yesterday, actually. So we are coordinated there.
Yeah.
The owners have put some boundaries on wind, and I'm not going to discuss what or challenge those boundaries. We have significant investments needs. We are going to spend $20 billion on grid infrastructure. We have plans for more than $10 billion in hydropower, and there's more projects in the portfolio that we are developing. So there's plenty of projects for us to develop. Could we look at wind? Well, let's see. I think as both Andreas mentioned and Ragnhild said, in Norway we like to see or like to think that we are best in class and the front runner in a lot of areas when it comes to energy. But a recent study by Thema Consulting pointed out that Norway is not that. We have the resources that are in place, but a lot of other regulatory processes are missing. We have a taxation system, which is one of the perhaps worst and most taxing for the industry. And we as the industry also needs to improve how we collaborate with local municipalities. So if we had the ideal situation with a Norwegian resource base, a Swedish tax system, Danish plans, and perhaps Finnish ability to implement, we will be in a very good position. So taking some of the lessons and learning from them, taking them back home here is key, I think, to moving forward.
Thank you. That was also mentioned slightly earlier today, and I think that possibly stems from a fairly new Thema report that sort of compares all the Nordic countries' framework conditions and sort of look at the strengths and weaknesses, not to specifically. So now when you start looking at your next projects, Fredrik, you have this sort of problem that you really need to help us get a lot of more production as soon as possible. And you have, even though you say you have a lot of money, there's still a limited amount of money. And there is maybe even an even more limited amount of projects that are sort of socially acceptable. So how do we solve this? Because in the end, we really have to get away from the fossil fuels. And you are the key to help us do that.
I think at the owners meeting yesterday, we also had some key industry leaders in the Western Coast and industry leaders that needs this power to secure jobs and secure local areas. And I think sort of re-establishing that social contract between the power production, the local value creation, and also the local industries is a key component in also getting the acceptance. And I think sort of the sense of urgency from those industry leaders talking to our owners is a key component also in getting this ahead. And then also, of course, looking at the lowest hanging fruits, which is developing the assets that we already have in place, both in hydro and in wind. So again, I'm optimistic.
Yeah. And finally, we need to round this up, unfortunately, but let me ask all of you some of the similar questions to previously today. If you start with Åsheim, what's the one thing you wish for needs to happen with a framework condition or something else within in 2024 that would really help you make it easier to build?
On the framework side, nothing. Please leave it be for a year at least. We've had enough shocks for the time being. But I think the single most important thing, and this has been said from stage earlier, give Kjetil Lund and NVE as many people as possible. If they need to move somewhere else to get enough seats, do that. I think that's the single most efficient investment we as a country can make.
Levi, what are your thoughts? What's the one thing that will really, really help O Energy, you think?
Yeah, we're pointing at one thing. I think I would support Andreas here, because getting down the time it takes from an initial phase of a project to realization would help a lot in all of our business areas. So shortening that time, putting on more people and more effort from the regulatory side is perhaps the most single issue that I will also point out.
Yeah, and Fresvik, finally.
Yeah, we totally agree. Yeah. But I also think that we sometimes need to point inwards towards sort of the level of speed and the level of wanting to push projects forward in our own organizations. And again, back to high tech, it's not only high tech that can provide capital and impatience. We can do that. And I'm really proud heading up an organization after the big restructuring, really gearing up to deliver new projects. And I think sort of also pointing inwards sometimes is also a medicine that we should take.
Thank you very much, Ragnhild Jambu Fresvik, CEO of Eveny, Håkon Levi, CFO of Å Energi, and Andreas Åsheim, Head of Norway in Vinder. My name is Ole Petter Pedersen. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Europower, and this has been a podcast recorded at the Europower Investor Conference. Thank you so much.